It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I called everybody that I thought I needed to call, and then I called my wife, and I was like, hey.
Hey.
Are you sitting down? She's like, I'm driving. I said, well, maybe you should pull over. And she's like, oh, man, this is obviously a pretty serious question that you're getting ready to ask me. I said, so, about that retirement thing.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour, presented by NASCAR on Fox. I'm Kevin Harvick. She's Caitlin Vincey. And he's Mamba Smith.
There you go. He didn't do a dig on you this time.
No, he couldn't. He's not going to go back-to-back weeks.
No, we got to keep it mixed up. We can't just go straight to Mamba Diggs every week.
Mamba Diggs.
But, I mean, the bill on your hat is a little short.
Listen, this 47 hat, Kyle Busch hat, is great.
Is that a kid's hat?
No, I got a...
Are you sure?
Yeah, what, are you saying I got a big head?
No, I'm saying that your bill's short.
He originally thought, right when he walked in, asked you if that was a kid's hat.
It's like maybe kid that size. Is like an old 1947-ish hat. I mean, I know that's the brand, but that's maybe weird. It's from that era where they had the short bills.
Have you seen the new hats where they cut the bills off?
Yeah.
And it's just that, would you wear that?
I have not seen that.
You haven't? Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I would not.
All right, real quick. Rock, paper, scissors. If you lose, you have to wear one of the hats.
Here we go.
Ready?
Okay, you ready?
Wow.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, God, you're so predictable.
Anyway, moving on. He just got a win. He's got another win.
It almost worked.
I know.
He got me to hang upside down once in the chair.
Of course, if you aren't watching with us, Kevin just won the rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, so. I went rock, he went paper. I'm going to log that for later.
Right.
Log that for later. Yeah. Guys, we have an exciting show on tap today. Make sure you continue to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow along on social media as well. Harvick Happy Pod for all the happenings. And our man had to make it interesting for us with a big announcement over the weekend. That I had no idea that was coming.
I had no idea either.
You didn't?
Apparently, Mr. Hendrick had a different idea. He and Kyle Larson and Cliff Daniels had an idea that they wanted me to practice their car at North Wilkesboro. So I would say that it would be practice and qualifying, but apparently there are some rules that don't allow me to qualify the car.
Right.
From my eligibility. Apparently, you lose your all-star eligibility pretty quick.
When you retire?
Well, is that what happened?
I don't know.
I hadn't even gone back and read the rules. So, but anyway, I'm going to practice Kyle Larson's car while he is at Indianapolis Motor Speedway qualifying his Indy car. So, not very many scenarios that I would have said, you know what, that's a good idea. But this one, I was like, you know what, that's a good idea. And so I thought it would be fun. Mr. Hendrick called me and he said, hey. And I know when these conversations from him, when he doesn't call me all the time, but when he does call, there's usually something behind it. And our conversation started by, I need a favor. And I was like, all right, well, whatever you need. Because a lot of people don't understand how this sport works. And the people who are inside this sport understand that there's a lot of things that people within different teams and organizations do for one another when they're in a jam. So Rick's been very good to me through the years, was a huge part of the decision of going to Stuart Haas Racing, because I felt at that time you had to have a Hendrick something in the equation to win a championship. And so Rick called and said, hey, I want you to drive the car. And I said, let me make a few phone calls. So I had to call my bosses here at Fox, and I had to call my wife.
Who was first, the bosses or Delana?
Well, I wanted to get, before I went to my wife, I was like, I need to make sure that everybody's good with this.
Yeah.
So I called everybody that I thought I needed to call. And then I called my wife and I was like, hey, are you sitting down? She's like, I'm driving. I said, well, maybe you should pull over. And she's like, oh man, this is obviously a pretty serious question that you're getting ready to ask me. I said, so about that retirement thing. I think I'm going to go drive. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said, they've asked me to go drive Kyle Larson's car during the North Wilkesboro weekend. And she's like, okay, well, what'd you say? I said, well, I said, yes, of course, because I just, you know, there's just not too many opportunities that are presented the way that this one was presented from Rick to say, I need a favor. And she's like, well, if Mr. Hendrick needs a favor, he's done us good. You should go do it. And I said, okay.
There you go.
It's time this ever happened.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though. Shortest retirement ever, but we're excited to see you back.
Well, I'm still retired. It's just, I'm technically just helping some friends out. And I'm excited to be a part of the equation because I can't wait for, I hope Kyle Larson goes up there and qualifies on the pole and wins the race. And I just think that story of when Kurt Busch and Tony Stewart went and did the double, I think that was good for racing.
Yeah.
I think it's good for NASCAR. I think it's good for Kyle Larson. I think it's good for Hendrick Motorsports. And, you know, the bigger platform that Kyle Larson is on that weekend and that week, really month, I guess, is good for everybody. So just glad to be a little part of the equation mm-hmm. to help in some way, shape, or form. So it'll be a fun day.
Before we get into our regular scheduled programming, we do need to talk about when you did come over to Stuart Haas, right? You came over to Stuart Haas. So now we weren't teammates with Hendrick at the time, Caitlin, but we were like aligned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of working together. How is it being, you know, kind of quote unquote teammates with Jimmy?
Well, we had a lot of information at that particular time. And we, last week we talked about that Dover success and we talked about what we were going to do. A lot of that started because we had that Hendrick relationship and the success that Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus and Jeff Gordon and so many of those cars had at Dover. You had immediate access to that. And that's where Rodney and I started, said, okay, let's start here. These guys have been pretty successful here. And you look back all the way back to 2013, the first time I tested the car, I can remember it like it was yesterday because I just didn't know what the difference in the cars was going to be. And the first thing I got in and I made my first lap and I'm like, oh my God, why is this engine so much quieter than everything that I've been driving? Why is it so much smoother? There's no vibration. And, you know, I think we had them covered by like 3/4 of a second at the very first test. And I knew from there, I'm like, all right, this was a good decision. And so, so really before I started driving the cup car, I had to have a sit down with Rick. Rick obviously had a pretty big say in, you know, the approval process of who was going to drive that car. So he had to approve it, but I also wanted to run some Xfinity races. So I had to go sit in Rick's office and tell him what I wanted to do. And he said, we got done. And he's like, all right, we'll make that happen. And everything that we sat down with that day, he made happen with Junior Motorsports. And we went on to win a lot of races in a short amount of time in that car and won a lot of races in the cup car too. So I just felt like at that time, I felt like I needed to have a Hendrick something. So we had Hendrick cars, chassis, information sharing, and you know, that was really the part of the equation that I was looking for the most in 2014.
That's cool. Full circle moments
here.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to see you back out there.
Yeah.
If it goes well for you.
It'll be different.
Yeah.
It'll be different for sure. So
speaking of full circles.
Yeah.
Speaking of full circles. You really
did a full circle moment
2 weeks ago on the word of the week.
Yeah.
Okay. I did. You're right.
And you brought us right back. You lost us in the first half. In the second half, you had us. Roll the tape.
Narrow pit road. It's a busy place as the 43 gets turned around by Tyler Reddick exiting his pit. He'll have to back up and sorry, Corey Heim. Rough introduction to the Cup Series there.
Tyler Reddick yeeted Corey Heim right out of the way right there.
Sure did.
This is getting completely out of control with you, Kevin. You don't even know what yeeted is.
Wow, four wide off the end of pit road there.
The hats have been podcast word, Mike, right?
Wow. Flung him, Quint. Just flung him right around.
That's why we don't explain it to you.
And there it is.
See? Yeeted him.
He's been yeeted.
Excellent job.
My favorite part of this whole thing is Mike. I think Mike is a little bit annoyed of the whole thing because he knows it's like for the first part of the race, this is one of the most important things that we have to do. We got to figure out how to get this word in because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing as far as how most of these words are supposed to work. And this is a word that Mike didn't really know. So the day before, I was like, hey, here's the word. I've been both sides of the fence here.
Yeah.
Like, should I tell him and get the reaction? Should I not tell him? But I found that sometimes it's better to just tell them what the word is going to be. And so we're talking through how to use the word, because obviously, as we saw hullabaloo the week before, using hullabaloo is a lot different when you go to spit it out and actually try to say that it is yeeted. So we were talking through the whole word, and his son, luckily his son Scott was there. And I said, Scott, and then we had a couple of interns there, just seeing how everything worked this weekend. So they were younger. I said, Scott, how would you use this word? And then the intern's like, I don't think so.
I love the intern got to weigh in.
Yeah, yes. The intern got to weigh in. And so she was like, I would use it like this. So then we started looking it up, and your definition that you sent me was very, let's just say, vague.
It was very vague.
It was very vague. It was. And so we narrowed in on how we, the scenarios that we thought we could use the word, and it worked out pretty good this week.
Yeah, no, socials loved it.
I know, they did. All the drivers loved it. William Byron gave you a shout out on Twitter and said you nailed it.
We're just here to please people.
That's right.
We're just here to make this fun for you.
You're making it interesting for everybody. Everyone but Mike Joy likes it.
I don't think Mike dislikes it. I just think he knows that we might pay more attention to the word at the beginning of the race than we would anything else that we say.
We have a range. Closers, you guys know there's a range of words. Kerfuffle, he loved that one. So.
He did, because that was the squireism, right?
Yeah. Speaking of, before we move on to the next thing, is I got a word this week.
You did?
God. I forgot you were on TV.
You forgot I was on TV. Yeah. What a guy.
Yeah. Just, what a guy.
I'm out here just doing my debuts out here, and Kevin's forgetting all about it.
It's not your debut.
Debuts.
It's a second start.
Oh, okay. Second start.
Yep. Second start. Mm-hmm.
So we had a word. So why don't we roll that tape too?
Connor Zilich says he just needs a little bit of help late in the corner. His entry is fine. His middle is fine though, which is going to put Shane Huffman, his crew chief, in a bit of a conundrum to get him tightened up a little bit, but not too tight for the rest of the race. Jamie,
a conundrum. You guys know that Mamba Smith is a co-host on the Happy Hour podcast with Kevin Harvick and Caitlin Vincey. He's the one that comes up with all the crazy words that Kevin has to get into the broadcast on Sundays. So throwing him down with conundrum.
Conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you how this went down. So Wednesday, Thursday, I'm like, man, I'm not real comfortable on the things that I picked, because one point I had, like, I said, well, I'm going to make him say like Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or just something randomly off the wall. My wife is like, no, can't do that. I mean, I just thought it would be very entertaining if you were in the middle of your interview and you said Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, of course you would.
Or something along those lines. So everything that I had picked out, Delana had 100% vetoed. So I text
Caitlin. Thank you, Delana.
I text Caitlin and I'm like, hey, need some help picking this word. Have you seen any words that have come across on the suggestions? So we had three or four, and we thought conundrum was kind of middle of the road because of your skill level being pretty low. We thought that would be a good place to start.
Yeah, I just want to have you know, I've been doing this TV stuff longer than you, is what Jacob Ullman told me.
So. I don't know about that.
He said I'm the veteran in this situation of broadcast.
That's fine.
I'm technically not very good.
I wouldn't even try.
Wait, I think we should start maybe jabbing.
No.
A little bit at her?
You know I'm sensitive. Don't do that.
Would you cry if we got...
Probably. You have a daughter. You know they're sensitive.
So there's just trigger words.
Well, yeah.
That would just set you off into crying.
I don't know about that.
You should have told him that, because now he's going to try and slide one in here.
Do you think we'd get totally railroaded if you happened to cry on one of these shows?
Please don't make me cry. And I'm glad you guys haven't made me say a word every week on TV either, because I'm not sure how that would go.
I haven't even thought about that.
She's
very scripted.
Yeah, I don't want
to. She wants to be. She's by the book.
She's a professional.
What?
Got to have a plan. This is as far outside the box as loose as Caitlin's TV career has ever been.
Well, we like it. We're here for it.
Yeah. We're here for you to have fun.
I am having fun.
And you know what the great part is? The expectations of your counterparts as far as talent is really low. So it's pretty easy for you to look good.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we're moving on, guys.
See, she's segueing us right out of that.
Well, we got to talk about the race at some point. We spent a lot of time on words. So I guess I'll start with the winner. Mm-hmm. Denny Hamlin had a pretty masterful performance. Defensive driving. Pit crew executed, driver executed. What'd you think?
Well, it sounds like he did his job, right?
Well, that's what he's paid to do, you know.
Yeah, that's what he's paid to do. But when you go and you look at the race and you look at the scenario, The pit crew gave him the lead again.
Yes.
They did their job on pit road. They put him in a position to win. Okay. And then they come back in for the last time, and Kyle Larson beats him off pit road. And what did he do? He passed him.
Oh my God. Don't use that
careful
word.
Careful.
Yeah, easy, guys.
Denny Hamlin passed Kyle Larson. It's an amazing thing.
I love the eye direction.
He did pass Kyle Larson for the lead. Kyle Larson was in front. Denny Hamlin beat him on a restart and passed him. It's amazing.
Funny how that works. You know, I thought it was cool. He called his shot earlier in the week. Not many drivers
could know that.
Yeah,
yeah, on his
pod.
You should call your shot about the practice session and just say you're for all.
I have literally not sat in a car since I got out of the car.
Oh, easy, KB.
Yeah, so hey, I'll just be happy if I can get it off pit road.
But yeah,
it was great. Yeah. I watched the race. We were doing NASCAR Sunday, so I was out and about in Charlotte, and then rewatched the race yesterday. What?
You should elaborate on what your NASCAR Sunday.
NASCAR Sundays is when a group of people that normally wouldn't be NASCAR fans, we gather and I bring them and we all go to
so
a bar.
So you recruit these people?
He brings more eyes to racing,
you
it
recruit
sounds
them.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like on that's the dating cool. app or is it just like on Facebook Live or something?
No.
It's like a couple friends and then we put it on Instagram.
But you've gotten them exposed to racing, right? Because they weren't into it before.
Yeah, a lot of them weren't really into it before, and now everyone is excited about every Sunday. Whether I'm there or not, they're still going out.
I love that.
And bouncing around to different bars and stuff. So we were out. I watched the race and I was like, cool, this was an awesome race. Like the battle between the 5 of Larson and the 11 of Denny
Kyle Larson, who started 21st.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot that. He started way back. Okay. So he drives through the field, but obviously he must have helicoptered to second or whatever.
Yes.
But so they're competing hard. I'm like, this is great. Like, I don't know why anyone would be mad about this. I go to Twitter and I see that everyone's all bent out of shape that he couldn't pass him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I like whatever. He passed a lot of cars on the way up, though. And Denny has a job to do, which is defend his position, and that's what he did. Yeah, we're watching it right here.
Yeah, and look, you know the drivers learn quickly. They understand the vehicle that they're racing, and I heard Kyle Larson's comments and Denny's comments after the race about the air blocking. Mm-hmm. Can you air block? Yes. And I go back to 2020, Joey Logano. Did it, not the exact way that you do it in this car, but he took my line away. He would make me cross his wake at Kansas. Dominated the race all day. Felt like we should have won the race. Logano got track position. Could never get past him. Most aerodynamic cars in the world are F1 cars. They have the biggest aerodynamic problem in the world of going slower. So I can just tell you that aerotight and those things are not new. They're not going away. This car, just like everything else that all these teams do, they get smarter. They come up with words. Now, is this car more sensitive than the last car? Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not a new technique. It has nothing to do with the electronic mirrors. It has nothing to do with having mirrors in the cars. It's just more sensitive than the other cars. And now there's a term. There's a term, air blocking. Okay. So these guys nonchalantly talk about it, Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin, because now it's just part of the tools in your tool chest. Do you wish it wasn't that way? Yes. Is it that way in probably every form of racing? Pretty much. I hear him talk about it in go-karts. I hear him talk about it in dirt cars. So it's there. And that's just part of it.
Yeah, we're going to Kansas, right, this week.
Yep.
Last year at Kansas, the 5 and the 11 had a tight battle at the end. Well, Denny was able to get to the back bumper of Kyle Larson, and he got him loose, and then he kind of ran him over. Like, yeah. So you can't tell me that this car can't run up against someone. Like,
yeah.
It.
Now, look, Dover is in general a very fast racetrack. It's fast through the corners, so you're on the edge of losing the front tires and having the thing push anyway. With this car, you know, that it is very aero sensitive, but you also have a lot of options at Dover to move around the racetrack. But at the beginning of the runs, it's hard to pass because of the speed that the cars have, the corner speed that they have, and all the things that come with that. So it takes a variance in speed, which happens later in the run. Hamlin's car took off better than Kyle Larson's car all day. And when he got the lead, he drove off to like 3 seconds. 20 laps later, Larson's coming back the other way to run Hamlin down. So, I don't really know. Like I say, this isn't a new problem. It's a different type of problem, a different scale of problem with this particular car. but it's not something new. And it's not something that a slower car has beat a faster car because the guy behind him didn't have clean air.
Yeah.
There you go. These two setting the record straight on this, and silence your Twitter haters on all that.
Yeah.
People coming after you.
Listen, before we move on from that, real quick, I took a page out of Caitlin's book and did some notes.
Oh, normally, look at that.
Normally I don't do any notes. You know, well, it's not very good. It looks like chicken scratches. But I called Bob Pockris. I said, Bob, can you send me how many passes happened throughout the race? So he did. I'm like, okay, is this the numbers? I don't understand what I'm looking at. So I need you to tell me if this is a high amount, low amount, you know, middle amount. So he sent me from 2005 to present how many passes have been going on at Dover, right? So the average, the largest average, right, for any driver, because that's how it's done, is Kyle Busch, and he was at 26.6. Passes, quality passes, green flag racing. Okay, so that's 26. Denny Hamlin at 30, Larson at 35, Martin Truex Jr. at 35, KB had 28, Chase Elliott at 36, Alex Bowman had 30, Ty Gibbs at 28, AJ Allmendinger at 26, Bubba Wallace had 27, Ricky Stenhouse at 27. There's three other guys that had 22 or more. So there's 13 guys that are making at least 20 plus passes in this race on Sunday.
Okay. Yep. Well, that tells a whole other story right there.
Yeah. And look, it's just Dover's a tough racetrack. And I thought it was, a decent Dover race as far as all of that goes. And and I think Kyle Larson, those guys can make it through the field. Denny Hamlin, those guys can make it through the field. Christopher Bell was making his way through the field, but they fumbled again on pit road, put themselves to the back again. Then, they had the problems, and then they wrecked in practice. Kaz Grala had one of the biggest hits of the year in practice. Glad to see that he was okay. This car is just difficult at Dover. We saw Zane Smith just spin out and wreck or whatever happened to his car in practice. So it's it puts the drivers on the edge of their seat. Dover's a tough, tough racetrack to drive and to drive fast. Beats the crap out of you. But in the end, Denny Hamlin took advantage of his car taking off on the restarts. He got a good restart. His pit crew got him out first the run before that, got the track position, and they were able to do what they needed to do to win.
Denny, again, 54 career wins for him. He's now tied with Lee Petty on the all-time wins list. You're at number 10 with 60. Do you think, based on what you've seen out of Denny, he could reach your number?
Oh, he's going to blow my doors off.
This season, I mean.
I don't think this year.
Okay, Larry McReynolds thought it maybe this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think those guys are hitting on all cylinders. I mean, Chris Gabehart's a stud.
Right? Stud.
I mean, Denny Hamlin's a stud. I mean, those guys, when you have two guys that believe in each other as much as they do right now, it's hard to beat them. And it puts them in a position to do things that other teams can't do, because when those guys have that much trust and belief in each other, they start winning races. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that bleeds down to the pit crew, and then it becomes a contest. All right, how many races can we win this year?
Right.
And look, I think we won 9 or 10 races in whatever year that was, and it was a contest, right?
100%.
Okay. Well, this is a great start. Let's dig in here and treat this like a championship week every single week, to go out and try to see how many races you can win, because you just never know when you're going to have another year like this. And Denny Hamlin and Chris Gabehart are switched on.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like you had the similar chemistry with Rodney. That's what you're speaking of.
You do. But you don't always have the cars to match that chemistry. And when you have that chemistry and then you have that over-the-top confidence like Denny has and Chris Gabehart has, Denny expresses it much different than Chris does. But you have to respect both individuals, right? For the way that they do things and the way that they drive and things that they do. So it's fun to see when you can see individuals in that zone like they are.
Back to the winning ways for Joe Gibbs Racing with three drivers in the top 10. You know, the previous three races, they'd had zero drivers finish in the top 10. And so
at Dover?
No.
Oh, period.
Period. Yeah. So it seems like JGR is back at it though.
Yeah. We have Team Toyota drivers over here with Kevin. Kevin's been talking about them being fast all year long, and I think we expect them to be fast. And when they're not, it's very weird. And you're like, well, what happened during the race? You need context. Mm-hmm. So if they're not in the top 10, let alone if they're not in the top 5, you need context to the race. They are going to be a handful to deal with all year. And even Bubba was fast too, right? The 2311 cards were pretty quick. So everyone's hit.
Well, I think you have to go back to those races and look at the circumstances that came with those finishes. Ty Gibbs was back in the top 10 this week. Christopher Bell had trouble in practice and qualifying this week. Yeah. But, you know, this car, it's just difficult to put week after week after week together. Like, look at Kyle Larson, right? You look back to Texas and you think, oh, well, you know, this was great weekend for Kyle Larson. Well, the wheel literally fell off. And, you know, there's just so many things that can happen with the pit crews and the pit stops being so on the edge of disaster every time, being in the mid 8 seconds now, high 8 seconds. You have the restarts and you have the track position and you have all the elements that go with this car. It's hard to continuously go week after week after week and overcome things. It's harder to overcome issues. And William Byron, right? You know, he's won three races and he's been a little bit, his finishes have been not where they probably had run over the last few weeks because of everything that has gone on. So I still think Christopher Bell is one of those cars that's capable of winning. They keep beating themselves. 54 car has speed as well. They keep beating themselves as far as on pit road and the different circumstances, but that's going to happen. But like I say, the mistakes are harder to overcome than they used to be. So as many top 10s and top 5s and wins and laps led and all those things that you could do when you had a dominant car or a car that was capable of competing every week, it's harder to put, you know, 28-30 races together in a top 10 than it was in today's car than it was with the old car.
So Kevin mentioned Christopher Bell, mm-hmm. William Byron. They were part of that accident towards the tail end of the race. Yep. What did you see going on here? Bubba Wallace also seemed visibly dejected and frustrated in his interview and in his kind of mannerisms after the race. If you're watching along with us on YouTube, here is the incident. What did you guys see from this and what'd you make of this?
I mean, they were racing hard on that restart, and there were three wide going through one and two. And the unfortunate part about this is obviously everyone wrecked, but Tyler Reddick was on the inside of Zane making the move.
Late.
And it was a late move. He was there, but it was a late move. And then Zane, like, I don't know if they tied, don't remember if they touched here or not, but he had to move up. Regardless, he got tight or whatever, and Bubba was on the outside, and it just was a massive.
Yeah, so basically what happened is Tyler shoved it in there really late on the bottom, and Zane, I don't think, really anticipated him doing that and kind of jerked the car to the right, and Bubba was starting to come down the hill when Zane jerked the car back up the hill and clipped Bubba. But lucky that wreck wasn't bigger than it was. Usually when they wreck like that off of turn two at Dover, it collects most everybody behind them. But, you know, the way that wreck turned out, there wasn't as many cars as I thought could be involved in that. So I really think that wreck was just a racing deal.
Yeah, it was.
With just the reaction and the timing of how everything happened.
One other incident that was a topic of conversation from the race was the race off pit road, where it was Denny, Kyle Larson, and Alex Bowman all fighting for real estate.
Yeah.
And it got kind of interesting. And Alex Bowman backed out of this situation that was about to unfold.
Well, the interesting part to that three wide situation that they were in on pit road was the 14 car. You'll see Denny come out right here, and the 14 car, he sees that, and you see him go deep into his pit box right there, Chase Briscoe. But Denny never lifted, and there couldn't have been 6 inches of clearance between the front bumper of Denny Hamlin's car and the back bumper of Chase Briscoe's car. But, you know, like you say, Bowman definitely lifted right there to fight another day, and Denny took a chance of not lifting and wound up with the lead of the race.
Yeah.
I think with Denny being there, like, because it was Denny and then two Hendrick cars, right? So he kind of knows who's beside him, and, like, for him, it's like, I can put these guys in a really compromising situation to where they basically might take each other
and,
out.
And the Dover pit road is just difficult. We saw it earlier when Reddick yeeted Heim out of the way.
One more yeeted in there.
I got that one down pat. But Dover's it's a difficult pit road because when you have cars going into their pit box and cars coming out of their pit box, and it's really only about three cars wide.
Yeah.
The pit lane to the pit boxes. So you've got the pit box and three lanes if you're door to door. So it's a really tight pit road and a really easy pit road to speed on because of the gearing because you go so fast on the racetrack. So it's really easy to lunge forward. So you have to really pay attention to what you're doing. And I think Alex was getting squeezed there in the middle and you know, Denny wound up just Never checking up and wound up, because you have to take a chance, right? Especially in that situation, if you wind up hitting the back of the 14 car or whatever happens right there, it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
I mean, the risk actually won him the race, and his pit crew did a good job in getting him out of the pits, but not checking up right there is really what won him the race off of pit road.
You talk about you were talking about putting a whole race together like week after week. We've seen someone who hasn't been able to do that, which is Kyle Busch, and now this week. At speed, they put on the pole.
Yep.
He finished fifth. They were up and down in the top 10, but overall they had a good car. And on pit road, where they've been struggling, they're able to put it together. So, like, as the season goes on, it'll be interesting to see who's able to put it together when they have speed and keep their car up front. Because if you have to deal with Kyle Busch on a regular basis, that's tough.
Yeah, the interesting part. And this is why you need to qualify good, because Kyle Busch's car fell off pretty bad the first run, the second run, but he had track position, right? So he had that buffer from qualifying on the pole. He had that first pit stall to be able to have a little bit of an advantage on pit road to, you know, leaving his pit box. So qualifying good is key. And you look at some of these teams that aren't qualifying good right now, you know, that's really the detriment to their day when you don't have that overwhelming speed like the 5 and the 11 and some of these cars have on a weekly basis. Qualifying good protects you against that. And I feel like that's where Kyle Busch was this week. They needed a good week because the wheels were off. The wheels were off.
They weren't falling off.
The wheels were off of the 8 car. They needed to have a solid week. And in typical Kyle Busch fashion, he came back, qualified on the pole, and put together a good day.
So Kyle Busch had a good day. And I want to give a mention to someone else who had a good day for them would be Corey Heim. You know, we've been talking about Corey Heim filling in for the injured Eric Jones. Cup Series debut at probably one of the tougher tracks to do so at. What'd you think of what we saw out of Corey Heim?
Well, I thought Corey Heim did good. And I think two other guys, Noah Gregson and Daniel Hemric,
yeah,
also put together good days. But I think Corey Heim's obviously is in a different scenario, being his first cup race at what I would consider, if not the toughest track, one of the top three toughest tracks at Dover to just race in general, but let alone to make your first start. They had, you know, a couple moments that put them behind, but I really felt like he could have run 15th to 20th. And that's, in my opinion, that's about where that car has been running performance wise. So I think he achieved what he wanted to do, did what he had to do from not making any mistakes from his standpoint, and finished all the laps for the most part. he took the checkered flag. He took the checkered flag and did a great job all day of keeping himself out of trouble. He didn't have these random spin outs like we see, you know, from these cars every once in a while at a racetrack that's tough to handle. So kudos to Corey Heim for his weekend. I think his maturity, the way that he presents himself, the way that he races, you know, he was all over the racetrack looking for speed. At one point, he was up on top of the racetrack in the middle of that race, just ripping around the top. So a lot of pressure. But yeah. I think for him to go out there in that scenario and perform says a lot about you know, who he is as a racer and his potential in the long run.
Yeah, it was Heim time.
It was Heim time.
I like
the fact that he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Right? He's not 18, 19.
No, right. That does matter.
I think that does matter because of all the challenges that come with this car and just the prep and everything that goes with it being so much different, and then going out there and trying to digest all the differences in the car from everything that you've ever driven in 20 minutes. That's a big task.
We'll continue to follow that story in Eric Jones and when he may be returning to the car. Corey Heim obviously runs full time in the Craftsman Truck Series. They're back on track this weekend after a little break out at Kansas Speedway, which is where we are headed next. Mm-hmm. I always loved going out to Kansas because there's just a lot of neat things to see out there. And you were very good there, Kevin, with 3 wins and a lot of second place finishes as well.
Right.
But the wins are...
Yeah, the wins are great. But I felt like we lost more races than we won there, for sure. And we lost them by a pretty close margin. Yeah. But it was always a really good racetrack for me personally. I think we actually finally got across the start-finish line first at RCR in 2013. We were in position to do that beforehand, but just never could make it happen. But Kansas has really developed into probably, if not our best mile and a half, one of our top 2 mile and a halves.
Yeah.
With this car, I think it's been Kansas and Charlotte that have been our best 2 mile and a half racetracks. And I think that a lot of that is just the you know, the banking and the way that the racetrack is aged and the shape of the corners. There's just a number of things that you could argue as to why that is. But, you know, you're going to have to run the top of the racetrack really good this week. And I think the progressive banking, the bottom lane, second lane, every lane that you go up has another degree of banking. And the way this track is aged and the way that you drive it, it still gives you options. The top is going to be dominant at some point, but it still gives you options if your car is good enough to run that middle lane and get position on guys.
This race is one of the best ones of the year last year, yeah. If I recall. 37 lead changes, is that right, at that race a year
something
ago?
Like can't it's be, a can't very... be, because they don't pass.
Well,
can't
yeah.
be. And the other topic of the story is going to be the restarts, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You know, because you can push and shove and jump out of line and, you know, put cars three wide and you can ride around the top and jump through the middle because that's what will happen on a restart. You'll have the guys that protect the bottom. You'll have the guys that protect the top and you can't protect every lane. So, you know, when I remember shooting through the middle several times and gaining a bunch of spots while everybody's worried about who's going to jump on their outside. So it's a tough spot to defend your position on the restarts. It's also a place that everybody knows that. So you have to be super aggressive on the restarts from your pushing and whether you put a car three wide, go around the top, middle, bottom, whatever that is. But if you're on the bottom, you better figure out a way to get up, because if you get stuck down there again in turn three, you're going to get freight trained. So it's it's definitely a track where, and we've heard Chase Elliott say this, several of the guys say this, you have to err on the side of being too aggressive, which sometimes we've seen a mess.
Yes.
It's kind of what's making the racing so much fun is, like, and Chase has talked about it, to your point, a couple of times, like, he's being aggressive. Like,
have to be.
You got to be with this car. And I think that's what makes it enjoyable, because everyone's on edge. Like, they're even on edge in practice and qualifying. Like, people are spinning out in practice and qualifying almost weekly. We haven't seen it's that in a super long time. So I'm enjoying it. This place is interesting. The seams.
Yeah.
How the guys can manipulate the seams and where to run on the seam. It can help you a lot or it can really hurt you a lot. So seeing that, Kev, but in 2013.
You're going to challenge us on the
years?
You guys
are challenging my memory.
You were still driving the 29.
Okay.
Right? Because that was before you came over to Stewart House.
Yeah, 2013.
And so you won that race?
I'm not sure.
I think you said you won it. Not without it.
I mean, there's two, so I don't know if the one you're... I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what I'm getting at is it wasn't without a caution that...
Some drama.
Oh.
There was a little fire.
Oh.
Over in turn one and two.
I remember this now.
I think, yeah, for our... God,
that's
only
a good looking car.
That thing, the 29 looked nice. For our audio nice. Only audio.
Oh, fire, not so nice.
There was a fire in turn one and two. We were allegedly someone had thrown a cigarette or something out.
Oh, perfect.
In the bush there, and it kind of caught on fire.
Yeah, and then you see what direction the wind's blowing.
So they're still green when we're watching this, but I guess a caution came out. Were you surprised by the caution coming
out?
Yeah,
well, this is one of those scenarios. No, it was on fire pretty good. It definitely didn't surprise me. But it doesn't surprise me that we were leading the race and something caught on fire and the caution
right. came out. Just your luck.
That had nothing to do with racing, but... yeah, it's you never know what's going to happen. At Chicago one year, we had that big orange Tropicana... The big orange.
Yeah.
The Tropicana orange came blowing down the front straightaway during qualifying. We covered a few weeks ago. We had the parachuter fly out of the sky and knock the door off my car. So, yeah, you really have no idea what could happen. If it's going to happen,
Kevin's like a magnet.
You might see it
for weird things.
I'm just glad that big duck that you guys were hanging out with at Dover didn't find its way to the track.
Clint hated that.
Why?
I don't know. Clint was so wound up about that duck. He's like, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why we got to have a duck. What the hell does the duck have to do with anything that we're doing? So he was wound up about the duck all weekend. But you know what we talked about?
The duck?
The duck.
Yeah. Your life must be pretty good if you're mad about a duck.
Like, a rubber
duck. You
must
have no problems going on over there. Yeah,
rubber duck. A rubber duck.
Yeah.
It's more like an inflatable duck. But
Yeah. Well.
Look like a rubber duck.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Are you headed out to Kansas this weekend?
Heck yeah.
Yes, you are.
We got driver introductions going out.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like going to Kansas. The fans are always out there. They have a good time. Barbecue.
Excellent restaurants there.
Yeah.
Give me something, though.
What do you want?
Give me something. Like, give me something. Who needs to run good here?
There you go.
Because we've seen the Hendrick cars. We've seen... the Gibbs cars.
Fords.
Tyler Reddick win. Ford
Forged it.
Well, let's go to Caitlin then.
No,
you've earned it. You've earned it. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot.
We've talked about
it. Pick one Ford that needs to run good.
Well, Chase Briscoe.
Chase Briscoe.
It's a good one, actually. Yeah.
Noah Gregson, highest finishing Ford.
Yeah,
over
the weekend. Noah has done that a few times.
Yeah, but that's
And I think that's a bit of a surprise for everybody because you didn't really know how to go, know how that was going to go. Mm-hmm. And I think the elephant in the room on the whole SHR thing is all the chatter about all the charters and are they going to sell, sell, and that's a tough position to put the whole team in because I hear it just like everybody else. I'm sure you guys hear the same thing, and I think for an employee and a driver, it's you got to go through the year. I went through that in 2013. They knew I was leaving RCR, but we all sat down and were professionals. But it's still difficult, right? Because if it is shutting down, everybody's looking for a job,
right?
And there's no, it's not too soon. It's not too soon to look for a job ever. So I think from the Ford standpoint, you've got the uncertainty with SHR and everything that they have going on. Noah's run good. We've seen some flashes here and there from some of their other cars. I think that the 22 is not good. Had a couple good weeks to start the season. Hasn't shown anything since then. Ryan Blaney's had some speed. He was up
top
front
10,
at Dover.
Yeah.
But, nothing really to shine there.
The second half of the season.
Cindric hasn't been good, except for, the Talladega, they were good and here and there on the super speedways. But, RFK, in my opinion, hasn't had the speed this year that they've had in the past.
Not like last year.
No.
Everything that I hear, it's the exact same problem that they had last year. The cars are tighter in traffic, won't turn into the corner, won't change directions well. And, that's a little – that I would be alarmed if I was still in that Ford camp knowing – and, look, I know all the problems that we fought last year. They sound exactly the same. Well, like Dover, Bristol, some of these places, same diffuser, same rule package – exactly what the car was redesigned to do better. And it doesn't look any better to me.
See, aren't you glad I said Ford? Because you just got to unload that bucket. You had a lot of information there on Ford.
Well, and I
do
have a lot of information.
He was ready to go.
And I think it's easy information for me because I drove it.
Yeah.
I fought it. They weren't where we needed to be. Blaney figured it out. Right. They had speed, but hadn't seen that same speed out of Blaney so far. That we've had. I mean, he's
been consistently
flashes.
Like solid, but
not those flashes of big speed to lead laps
and lead
the race.
Dominating races.
Logano has been nowhere to do that.
Yeah,
outside of Daytona at the beginning of the year, and I think I think Kansas is a good track for Joey Logano. It's a good track for Ryan Blaney. I think that there should be an SHR car that runs okay. RFK. Brad Keselowski has carried their cars, to good finishes, from the experience of that team and the things that they have done as a team. I feel like come from experience in those chaotic races like we had at Texas, Talladega, chaotic finish. He comes rolling across start finish line. So, and you can even look at the 34 and 38, right? 34 was in the front at Talladega. We expected all those Fords to be in the front, but you still hear chatter about the things that are happening with the 34 driver and is he going to be the 34 driver next year? Is he not going to be the 34 driver next week? So, I think for the Ford camp in general, there's just a lot of uncertainty with everything that is going on right now outside of the, kind of the lack of performance.
So we've identified the Fords need to have a good weekend this weekend. Who else? You said Bubba Wallace. Did you give us your full reasoning on Bubba?
I'm giving you...
Get it right in there.
Yeah, listen, it's Bubba for me because they've been running good, but he even said it in his interview. They have nothing to show for it. And,
right.
Outside of the top
16. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. The two DNFs, which means you get two more of those in the next four races. That's quite a bit back. So this is a place that they run good at. He's won here. The thing about it that's kind of funny, though, is the 45 has won here with three different drivers. Like, it's one here with Tyler Reddick, Kurt Busch, and Bubba Wallace, which is, I don't know. All right, so if I was a betting person, put your money on the 45 in the cup race, that. Like, because it seems to work out. But he's going to be good. They checkmark this race. This is like a Texas for them, like similar mentality. They're
you have to have those racetracks, and we've run this car. This third year we've run this car now. So you know you're what you trend towards running well.
Yep.
And for the 45 and the 23, they trend towards running well at Kansas every year. Yep. In really, no matter the year that you've gone, they've been competitive. So they're looking to this race as a benchmark. Where are we at as a team, a 23 team? We've seen the speed out of Tyler Reddick. We've seen flashes. That's the good thing for Bubba. You've seen the flashes of speed and brilliance that team is capable. Some of these other situations that I was just talking about with the Ford side, you have not seen the flashes of speed. If you don't have the flashes of speed, it's hard to overcome issues. Christopher Bell has the flashes of speed. Sure, it's been a disaster. Ty Gibbs, same thing. Sure, it's been a disaster of late. We've made a lot of mistakes as a team. We've crashed cars. We've not had good finishes. Yes, but they have the flashes of speed. And I view Bubba as on the fence.
Yeah, he's not like...
Not like Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, it's not the same,
it's
but
not
he's
like
there.
Joe Gibbs Racing. It's not like Hendrick Motorsports. It's kind of could go either way at this point if they let it.
Yeah.
And I think Kansas is a place where they know that they need to go out and see where they are.
So those are the storylines we are watching as we approach Kansas this weekend. And today I did not steal any of your social steps because now it is your turn, my
friend.
Oh, man. Last week I accidentally did that. I was having PTSD from it. Stealing your line.
Yeah.
You're good to go on all of them today.
Welcome to Mamba's social steps. And I said some things on social media the last couple of days. We've been having some back and forth with people. And I would just like to apologize for absolutely nothing. I believe in everything that I've said about the passing.
I was about
to
slap you in the face.
Yeah. Uncle's getting mad. Uncle's like, you're about to apologize?
I was.
Hell no.
Yeah.
I'm doubling down. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Let's have some fun here.
There you go.
So, let's start here. The NFL draft just went by.
Yeah.
My team, the New England Patriots, they drafted a Charlotte local boy and Drake May. Hopefully he's going to be our next Tom Brady. At least if he's not Mac Jones, I'll be stoked. But I was like, man, let's act like we take all the drivers from Cup to ARCA, throw them in a pot, and we're going to do a little fantasy draft, right? Sure. So my thought is, because I want to also draft for the future a little bit. So my thought is, let's do this. You get two cup drivers, one Xfinity, one truck.
Oh, you switched up the rules on us.
Oh, we got new rules now.
New rules.
No.
Way to go.
Well, I mean, just in that, something like that.
All right. Well, if I'm gonna build a four car cup team, that's what you want me to build, right? All right. And we're gonna take a new guy. So, my guy that's gonna help me build my team is Denny Hamlin.
Okay.
I know a lot of people boo Denny and don't like Denny and don't like the things that he says. And but here's the bottom line. Denny Hamlin is switched onto our sport. He works his butt off to be good at it. He's invested in it from an ownership standpoint, and he knows a lot about it. And he goes out, kicks ass on the racetrack. I like that. I think my pure speed guy, give him a fast car, do what he needs to do, is Kyle Larson. I think he can go out and drive the wheels off of anything. I think he's not 100% your development guy that's going to, you know, help you rebuild your team. I think that could be, based on the old rules, would be a guy like a Joey Logano.
Yep.
So I'd have a Logano, Larson, Hamlin, and my up-and-comer.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a little bit biased here, but I would pick Brent Cruz because I think his potential is off the charts.
Love that. Okay. Very good. Okay, so my two cup guys would be William Byron and Kyle Larson.
Okay.
Because I still feel like they've got a ways to go in their careers. You say we're building for the future.
Yeah, we're building. Yeah, we want.
And I mean, it's hard to deny their talent level. They're going to be around a long time. I'm putting in Austin Hill because you said for an Xfinity Series regular.
Like
he's
that.
Shown a lot of promise. I think he could have a great future.
I think Jesse Love's going to put a lot of pressure on him, though.
I think so too.
We're going to get to learn a lot more about Austin Hill. Because Jesse Love's going to put a lot of pressure
on him. He has been incredible in his campaign this year.
Good.
And then I want to put in the guy we talked about earlier, Corey Heim, I think has shown a lot of promise, okay. and he's just, you know, rising along through the ranks, and he could be a guy for the future as well.
Okay. I like what you guys did there. I like what everyone did.
And let's not lose sight of this. Let's not lose sight of where Hendrick Motorsports was not too long
ago. Years
ago.
It
wasn't
yes.
that far
ago.
When we were at the end of Jimmy Johnson's career, mm-hmm. Jeff Gordon was gone, Dale Jr. was gone. Hendrick Motorsports was not good. And they did exactly what we're doing right now. How do we just, they took it like a, like an NFL franchise and said, okay, we're just going to redo this whole thing. We're going to restructure our management. We're going to restructure our business operations. We're going to go out and get young drivers. And here we are, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about William Byron and Kyle Larson still having a long runway.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hendrick Motorsports is on top of the world again, as far as, you know, being able to compete for a championship. So that wasn't that long ago.
And I think, too, to your point, they changed the management. Now you have Jeff Gordon, Chad Knaus, Jeff Andrews. Those are the guys who are leading the ship
That's
that
right.
are racers with a ton of experience. All right, your turn, your team.
I'm going to go with two champs that are on my cup.
So we got a good budget, is
yeah.
what you're saying.
yeah, we're just budget. Opening the paycheck.
I got you.
We're just opening the checkbook. So I'm going to go with Blaney and Larson. Because the star power of those mm-hmm. two guys.
I like that.
Yeah, and they're both culture guys. Like, I'm thinking of this like a locker room. I kind of want culture yep. guys in there. They're winners. They'll drive the wheels off of anything. Ton of people love Larson.
Marketable.
Yeah, marketable. Ton of people love Blaney. Mm-hmm. My Xfinity regular that I'm going to go with is AJ freaking Allmendinger. Because, listen here.
You know how old he is, right?
Yeah, I know. But I'm talking about culture, right? He's a guy that keeps everyone loose. He keeps everyone fun. Everyone likes to have
it's
a good time.
Like a Mamba.
And he wins. And he does more. He probably does more for his team than any other driver does for their yeah. team. I think he lifts up his team more than any other driver lifts up their team.
Okay.
So I'm going with AJ. And then I'm going to dig pretty far back. I'm going to go with Connor Zilich.
Spell it.
I can't spell it. I can't spell it, but he's a dog.
He is.
All that kid does is win. So, like, yeah. I think from the long term, I think that's who I would, you know, long term, that's who I would see in my program for a long time. AJ would help bring him along.
So, last week we had some fun in our interview with the Joe Gibbs bunch. No. And I asked him.
Oh, yeah.
I said, who do you think is a better driver, Dale Jr. or Chase Elliott? So, I'm going to ask you a hard question.
Okay.
And you weren't prepared for this.
Yeah, I wasn't. We didn't talk about this off screen.
Yeah. So I'm putting you on the spot right here. So if you were not under contract and you were Ryan Blaney.
Okay.
What's your team?
If
Ryan Blaney could go to Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah.
Is that a move he makes?
Now as
if you were Ryan Blaney.
Now as being the champion, the reigning champion.
Right now. If he didn't have a contract at the end of this year, and let's just say they were going to fill
doesn't matter.
One of the cars.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would he be better at Hendrick Motorsports?
I think so. I think that Ryan's been a part of Penske's roller coaster ride of
trajectory.
Being really good. And then they've struggled and then being good. And then he's been a part of that whole thing. And he's won a championship. He's proven that. And
he'd be a rock star.
I think Hendrick with the...
Look at Kevin stirring the pot.
Best equipment weekend yearly. He would be it'd be tough. It's like, I think they'd be having like two Larsons, to be honest.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, you didn't get to answer the question about
Dale
versus Chase. I think you wanted to answer, right?
Yeah, get him. No, get him. Don't ask him if he wants
it. I thought he said he wanted it.
No. Just make him do it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So that was I always think generational questions like that are very interesting, right? Because when you listen to the Gibbs guys answer that question about Dale Jr. and Chase Elliott as to who the better driver is, they all four said Chase Elliott. I would argue against that
okay.
because I grew up and I think, you know, it's the is it Joe Montana or is it Peyton Manning? Is it, you know, Tom Brady or is it Terry Bradshaw? You know, it's you have those generational things. So it's you know, for me, I grew up racing with Dale. I think that Dale Jr. had, you know, he had a lot of different experience in different cars. I would personally go with Dale Jr. on that side of the fence. And reason I ask that question is because I just think that those different generations of who thinks who is good has a lot to do with what you're doing now. And you overlook, and when you put them on the spot like that, I like to see their reactions. But if I had to be put on that spot, I would choose Dale Jr. mainly because I raced with him more. I got to see everything, his whole body of work.
Yeah. Right.
And we still haven't seen Chase Elliott's whole body of work.
Right.
I know that, but it's, you know, it's interesting. I think, Chase has won 19 cup races.
Yeah, just looked that up.
I think Dale is
26.
Yeah.
23, you know,
in those mid 20s, but look, those guys are, they have a different, they're in a totally different category than everybody else as far as what they do for the sport, what they mean to the sport because of their heritage in the sport with their name. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an interesting topic of conversation because they were both the most popular driver now for how many years in a row with everything that they've had, their families. So my big thing on those subjects with those two is people need to understand the magnitude of what they deal with and how those things go. Both great drivers, right?
Yep.
Both great drivers. I'm a little biased towards Dale Jr. and what he did in the sport and what he's done for the sport. But that doesn't mean that Chase Elliott's not great as well.
Yeah.
So we're here to have fun. We're here to have good conversations. And they're not, I don't look at that as a hard questions or,
no, it's
or
a fun
but
question.
It creates conversation about just it led to different conversations about whoever else it was, Petty and Earnhardt, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm an Earnhardt fan. I think that Richard Petty had a great body of work too, but I think his era was different than Dale Sr.'s, right? So it's those type of conversations for me are fun.
Yeah. And before we go...
I did answer your question though, right?
You did answer.
Yeah. Okay. He found it in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Before we move off of Mamba's Sips, thank you so much. We got to talk about this mannequin at Barber Motorsports Park. So in the IndyCar race, there is a mannequin that fell off of...
Georgina.
Right? Is her name.
The mannequin has a name?
She's been there forever.
It's like a staple, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently
nobody's checked the rope.
So she fell off of the... she fell off of the bridge... And right in front of, I think it was right in front of Pietro Fittipaldi. And they didn't throw the caution. Her hand did get knocked off. And my boy Scotty McLaughlin ended up with the win. Shout out to Scotty.
Well, I like him.
And he had a nice picture. And him and Georgina had a moment together.
Scotty McLaughlin.
Scotty Mac.
A lot more fans if you got in that cup car. Just saying.
Hey.
Just saying. Hey, Penske, how about one of those cup cars at one of those road courses so we could see? Let's go, Scotty.
Kevin's full of
Let's
ideas
go.
On this show.
Get Scotty in the
I've
cup
been
series.
After Scott McLaughlin for a long time
That's
to
my
come
guy.
Over and run one of these cup road races. Because I think it would be a show. I think he would do a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll see that in the future. Okay, so your Thursday episode is with the driver you were just talking about.
Yes.
Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
You excited
I went
for
to
this?
The I went down to Dawsonville, Georgia to interview Chase.
Early morning.
It wasn't early morning, but it was a I always feel like it's better to do whatever these guys want, right? Because I know as a driver, I'd rather not put a lot of effort into you coming to interview me or you coming to interview me. And I don't mean that I just during the week is your time,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. So if they don't have to put any effort into going out and making your interview work, I want to make the interview work for them. They said, well, you got to come to Dawsonville. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to drive to Dawsonville. So Chase was great. In a great mood, obviously coming off of a win. I think it was. I think there's a lot of fun insight to just understand where he's at with his team. That was the thing that I took most out of this interview is just the trust and faith that he has in Alan sitting up on top of that pit box and so all the stuff we talk about today, they could give two craps less about. It affects them in no way whatsoever. And that's what I was talking about earlier. That's the world that a Dale Jr. and a Chase Elliott live in, right? You have to understand how to deal with all the noise. And they've done a great job with that. And I think he has some great comments about it.
We look forward to that on the Thursday episode. And per Kevin Harvick's request, he wants to start grading these burnouts that
we've been
seeing from the drivers. So the first person to receive a grade, of course, will be Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, and we've got some work to do right here. This was going to be a good burnout.
It was doing well.
It was doing well until he realized he was going to hit the wall and actually hit the wall. And then this slide was really good. You know, I think Denny Hamlin has had some practice at these burnouts and the end of this burnout was okay. The start of the burnout was not that good, honestly.
Dover's
a tough place to do a burnout, but I watched afterwards. His burnout went over on the apron in turn two. Kind of weak over there. And then he came back and did the burnout down the front straightaway and did the little slide, and it slid right at the start finish line. And then he took off again. That part was pretty good, but
okay.
We're middle of the road.
We're gonna have to see
more smoke and more excitement, because they still booed when he got out. So we're gonna have to work on the burnout to really encourage the fans to cheer when he gets out.
So what do we get? Yeah, what we got? What are we going with?
I'm gonna say middle of the road.
So is that on a scale of 10? Grade to 10?
I'm gonna say it's probably a 6.
Yeah, I think when you catch the wall and then get.
Well, it'd be like some sort of gymnast that would start off by tripping.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right?
So I mean, you're not gonna get
great
a 10.
Analogy.
When you start off by tripping down and falling, you're just, you know, a 6 is probably as high as you can get.
Pretty mid.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna give it 6.5 because it's hard, because Dover's front stretch of slope.
So. I would agree. Dover's a tough place to do a burnout. Yeah. So his next one, we're putting a little pressure on you, Denny. Yeah. We need to see some. Flames or something. We need to something exciting.
We're gonna start grading the burnouts. Everyone, take note. Okay, right. Time now for the last call. We haven't made our picks yet for the race.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna go
having
first.
So much fun out here. It is rolling.
I'm going Martin Truex Jr. again. I know we picked him last week. He's fresh off a top five. He runs really well at Kansas. I just think his time is coming. I think MTJ gets.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we have to go too far outside of the box of where we've been. So. I'm going to stick with Kyle Larson. I think they were good there last year. I think they're going to be good everywhere and hard to beat.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the 24 of William Byron. I feel like
Willie B
does not like how Dover went. Feels this is more one of their tracks that they're more standardly fast at. Okay. So 24 back up front.
We'll have to see how all of the picks fare. Appreciate everyone tuning in and following along on social media. Keep leaving us those 5-star reviews and maybe a word for Kevin or Mamba to say, or me.
Or Kevin or Caitlin.
So are you asking for one?
No.
Don't
put myself through this.
Posers, don't do that.
We'll just slowly work our way towards the word.
Maybe the very last show of the year or something. Okay. I can do that. All right. We appreciate everyone tuning in every single week. We will see you guys after Kansas.